There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, CEO and founder, and I am honoured to bring you the stories of those who create change through paying it forward and giving back. Ethical business owners and holistic healers who are determined to create collective change in the world. Once we have a change in consciousness and through collective change, we can become one. John Moyer is an award-winning stand-up comedian and filmmaker based in Salt Lake City, Utah, who now harnesses his skills as a master hypnotist and meditation guide. In our conversation, John shares the secret to whether hypnotism stage shows are genuine, the true power of our mind and consciousness, and the change we can create within ourselves and our world simply by harnessing the power of our mind. Be prepared for some enlightenment as John and I find out we too are kindred spirits on the very same page. Welcome, John, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here from the side of the pond, I guess. You still refer to it as the pond in Australia like they do in the UK, or is there a different phrase?
It's a very big pond.
It is a very big pond.
Thank you for joining us, John. Now you're coming to us just outside of Salt Lake City in the US. Can you tell us, obviously, who you are and what you do?
My name is John Moyer, and I am a professional hypnotist. I started doing hypnosis as a stage hypnosis show. And then from that, I realized the power of the mind about how it could change people's lives. And I embraced hypnosis and meditation, hypnosis, not just as a form for entertainment, but as a way for people to be able to change their lives. It radically improved the quality of my life and how I was able to kind of rewire my thinking. And from doing a stage hypnosis show, I went on and created a YouTube channel with hypnosis and meditation programs. And I don't know if I've hit there just yet or not, or if it'll be tonight, but 211,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That's incredible.
It's been an awesome experience, and that's where I focus all of my efforts now, is to just putting the content, hypnosis and meditation content, on YouTube.
Now, you're a bit of a funny guy too, right?
Yes, I am. Well, and that is really kind of interesting as well, because I did start as a stand-up comedian. I graduated from film school. I had a degree in theater and film with a screenwriting emphasis, and I went on to have some independent comedy screenplays produced. And my first passion was being on stage and telling jokes. But the thing about that was one of the things that I learned in film school was that all conflict is drama. So, you're not going to have a Star Wars if there's no Darth Vader, if there's no kidnapped princess, right? If there's no threat to the galaxy. And I adapted that mindset to my stand-up comedy, that all conflict is drama, which I could turn into jokes. So I could be really funny on stage, but all of that came from an incredible amount of dysfunction in my life. And my philosophy was that the more dysfunctional my life was, the more I had to joke about and the more laughs I could get. Unfortunately, I was unhappy as an individual, wound up going, twice divorced. I was a single parent in, my 40s to two young boys, and dating all of the wrong women. And that's kind of when I realized I needed to make a change. And that's where I, discovered and dove into all things hypnosis. And interestingly enough, I guess in my personal life, yes, I still have quite a bit of, jokes. And fortunately, my wife thinks I'm very, very funny. So that works out really well. But when it comes to, doing the hypnosis, people just kind of, I'm just kind of very straightforward, serious kind of person. So, but funny, definitely love jokes.
So do you find there's a healthy level of skepticism when it comes to hypnotism, particularly stage-based hypnotism, because people think it's all just a bit of a show?
Yeah, and that's the one thing that first of all, I never thought I could ever be hypnotized, right, until I experienced hypnosis. So, and when I was with people on stage, I knew how to identify those people that were legitimate and, you know, maybe those people that were faking, and not necessarily because they wanted to, you know, do anything nefarious during the show, but sometimes you would find that people might be on stage and then they would feel bad if, you know, they admitted that they weren't hypnotized and they just kind of wanted to play along. But those are the people you get rid of, you dismiss from the stage, because you want to be able to maintain, you know, that, hey, this is something real, that is something that is legitimate. And the thing for me is when I was on the cruise ships, performing on the cruise ships, nobody knew each other. So you have a lot of people that might wonder, you know, is this fake, or is this, you know, not necessarily real? And then of course people would talk to everybody after the show and then relate their experience. One of the really cool things for me is because I would do a lot of corporate gigs and doing a corporate show, I can't tell you how many times somebody would come up to me after the fact and go, now I know that was legitimate, because there is no way that, you know, guy could fake it, because I work next to him every day. So there is a healthy amount of skepticism, and it's one of those things where when somebody sees it and experiences it, then they realize it's a legitimate medium.
Yeah. And I think it's something that, I don't know, there's a certain level of belief that people have to have, or they kind of need to let go a little bit and actually just trust in that something will happen. I know for me, I actually had a client here in the recording studio who was recording hypnotism, and I was in the room and I was like, oh God, I've really got to keep my wits about me so that I don't fall under. And there was one point where I felt myself starting to go and I was like, oh God, I've got to talk. So yeah. it does work. So, yeah. You know, if you focus, it can really create true change.
Yeah, it really can. You know, and to your point there, I can't tell you how many times somebody may not necessarily volunteer to go up on stage, but they go out into the audience. They wind up going out in the audience.
Yeah.
And an hour later, they wake up on stage. And it's kind of I had an experience a few years ago where I was performing for, it was a Christmas event for a county sheriff's, a group of county sheriffs. And they had a woman there, and she was the head jailer of their county jail. And she was a tough, tough woman. And like, you, not somebody you want to mess with. Well, initially she didn't volunteer for the show, but a lot of people were like, come on, go up. You should go up and do this. Go. And normally I would always say, if somebody doesn't really willingly volunteer, then there's going to be some resistance there. But this is one of those times where they were a little bit of a tough group. Getting volunteers were hard. So it was like, all right, I'm going to take whoever comes up. So here's this woman walking up on stage like, this is ridiculous. This is not going to work. This is, you know, it sits down on the stage like, all right, just hurry up and get me off the stage. And then an hour later, she woke up, opened her eyes, had no idea what just transpired over the last hour. And, you know, her colleagues are taking out their phones and they're showing her the video. And she was like, I don't remember any of that. Oh my God. Yes, this is real. And that's one of the things that all of her colleagues were saying, was like, we know her, we work with her. And that was totally a legitimate experience.
Yeah. And going back to what you said earlier with the power of the mind, you know, like referring back to the client I had who does hypnotism, she actually helps women conceive who are having trouble having babies. And I think she's had about 4 children born now in the last couple of years. And also she does lap band surgery, like hypnotism lap band surgery, where people lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Recording, that was fun. you know, like the power of the mind, once you, you know, can change those pathways for it to actually have different beliefs and behaviors, it can change your life.
It really can. And that's one of the things that's so profound about it, is because the brain, the mind, can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not under hypnosis. And I tell people, it's like when you have a dream. How many times have we had a really bizarre, strange dream, But in that moment of the dream, we are responding to that dream. We're acting. It's like it's real. Mm. Everything that happens in there, no matter how strange or bizarre, we act like it's weird, like it's real. So when you take somebody down in there in a hypnotic state and you say to them, you know, you're somebody who, you know, prefers to eat healthy or whatever the case may be, whatever thing that they're looking to achieve, their mind's just going to believe that, okay, this is really the case. So this is who we are. And then it begins to operate from that programming.
Mm. And something interesting that I learned, you know, through my experience and also through the meditation work that I do is, you know, there's a certain science to this, isn't there? Like in terms of the sound that people hear and your voice and the tone and all those kind of things. So there's an actual science to it, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. And one of the things that I also tell people too is that there's no right way or wrong way. There's only the way that works for you. Mm. So when it comes to stuff like hypnosis and meditation, there's an element of the individual. Mm. And there are people who relate to me. There are people who can hear my voice and go under really quick. You know, I hear from people, you know, on YouTube, oh my God, your voice helps me go to sleep every night. And then of course you hear from those people that are like, I hate your voice. Shut up. You're annoying. And so I always tell people to explore. If you're looking to do something, just because this one hypnotist or this one modality didn't necessarily work for you does not mean that there's not going to be something else that your mind's going to connect with that does work for you. But definitely in the way that you're speaking with people, the way that you're, you know, if you're dealing with somebody, if you've got a one-on-one session, there's a feedback loop. You're able to see what's happening and you know, and you can hear and you can understand and you can cater what you're doing to the individual. Of course, when I'm putting out content on YouTube, it's has to be just kind of a one size fits all. And I have to kind of drive down the middle so I can, you know, reach as many people as possible. But there is, it's a lot more than just, you know, it's not a magic incantation, right? It's, you know, you don't just read a script and say these words and it happens. There's a way that the script is written. There's a way that you're saying that. And then there's a way that it's being delivered to people.
Mm. Yeah. And I just find it absolutely fascinating, you know, particularly, you know, the different people and their voices and the sounds they can produce and the effect that they can have on people. I have so many people who say to me, oh, you know, I listen to your meditations and I'm asleep in minutes. And I'm just like, good. So yeah. I think it had the desired effect.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the stage shows that you do, can you tell us about, you know, a particular situation where someone's had such radical change through actually getting up on stage with you?
Yeah, there's, you know, there's two instances that I think of that kind of demonstrate how the mind works and then after effects. So one experience I remember had, I actually had a woman that volunteered and she was a medical doctor. And it was a case where the suggestion that I gave her was that her belly button was missing. So of course, you know, when you give these people their suggestions, they're in that relaxed state, their eyes are closed and, you know, they're down. So when I wake her up, she opens up her eyes and she starts, you know, looking around for her belly button. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? And she's like, my belly button is missing. And of course people are laughing, but it was really fascinating because she goes, look, I am a medical doctor. You cannot lose your belly button. It is physically impossible, but it happened to me. I cannot. And you could see that. And speaking out loud, she was like debating and arguing with herself, having this, you know, battle within her mind because she knew it was very real for her that her belly button was missing. But all of her, you know, all of her years of training that consciously she's like, this does not make sense. It's impossible. And that's just a really fascinating example for me of somebody, a medical doctor who knows how biology works. And yet she was in a position where she couldn't figure it out, but yet she had missed her, you know, she had lost her belly button. And one of the really interesting experiences I had when I was on the cruise ship, because this was a case where, you know, lots of times you do a show and then after the show, you go home or you go, you know, to the next place or whatever the case, back to your hotel room if you're out of town. But I had the opportunity to be on a ship for several days with a lot of these people. And what I would do to encourage people to volunteer is that I would let them know the benefits of them coming up on stage. It's not just going to be them doing goofy, silly stuff, but you're going to be able to have a great night's sleep. And it inevitably, every time I would tell the audience, you're going to have an incredible night's sleep, everybody would just start talking and oohing and aahing, because that's something that a lot of people struggle with. So people would come up and volunteer just so they could have a really good night's sleep. But I would also tell them that if there is a goal that you're looking to achieve, when you participate tonight, we're going to empower your mind so that you can achieve your goals. So when we wrap up the show, the very last thing that we're going to do is I'm going to offer you some suggestions and some hypnotic suggestions, not just teaching them how to do something, but I'm going to speak to your subconscious mind so that you can achieve your goals. And a woman had come up to me several days later and she said, I'm a chocoholic. And she said, this really is a huge issue for me in my life because I eat way too much chocolate. And if it's there, it's one of these things where that's what I'm focused on. That's all I care about. That's what I do. She said, it's been 3 days and I have not had any chocolate. And she said, that's the whole reason why I went up. I wasn't going to volunteer and be part of the show. But then when you said that you could help me achieve a goal, and this apparently, I mean, the thought in my mind is, all right, it's chocolate, but this was clearly an issue for this woman. And she said, my friends can't believe it. I can't believe it because there's chocolate everywhere in the cruise ship and I haven't had chocolate in 3 days. And something like that. And I would hear a lot of those things, you know, from people after they got done with, with my show. Somebody might email me or they would tell me these little experiences of things that they were trying to do relative to achieving their goals. The big thing for me is when I hear from people that have experienced my content on YouTube, because those are things that they can continually go back to and they can grow with and they can, you know, their mind is able to learn more with. And hearing the stories of people about how things have changed for themselves, less stress, less anxiety, their, you know, better night's sleep, stronger confidence. If they've gone through a heartbreak, one of my big programs is to overcome a heartbreak. Mm. And they share with me how they were in this pain and then they were able to get through it and move on and everything is okay for them.
Well, we could really fix the world with hypnotism, couldn't we? Like,
I would also, you know, throw in meditation, you know, to that. I think it's something that ancient civilization, ancient humanity understood early on. They understood the power of the mind. They understood the power of emotional states and energy. And then I think as we got into, you know, the Middle Ages, we went from the Dark Ages to Enlightenment, and then people began thinking way too much. It all became about learning and thinking and judgment and reasoning, and that's where everybody began to put, you know, that attention. And especially now, the way the world is connected so much with social media, there is a lot of people aren't able to manage their emotions and how they feel as effectively as would be ideal for people. And, you know, when somebody gets angry, when somebody gets upset, when somebody gets, you know, triggered about something, what do a lot of people do? They take out their phones, they go right, they post about it on social media and they hit send. And now all of a sudden you can send that energetic, you know, emotion of anger and upset, and it just can travel around the world and it can be contagious in a negative way. And that's one of the things that I'm passionate about, is being able to, you know, offer people a way that they can learn to tap into their mind and then tap into their heart, you know, that coherence between the heart and the brain, and be able to balance themselves out to come from a much more peaceful state of mind and a much more productive state of mind and emotion. And that to me is how, you know, we can positively impact and positively change the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, you know, and, you know, social media has so much to answer for. I think we tend to go on autopilot and lose, you know, I've been having a lot of conversations recently around emotional intelligence, and, you know, it's like we completely lose that layer of emotional intelligence once we get on social media, and it's just like you just lose the plot. So, I think, wow, there's so much.
There really is. And it's one of the things, I grew up in the 1980s. We had the fear of the Cold War, right? There was going to be nuclear missiles, blowing up the entire planet. So, I grew up in a state where, or a place where, the existential threat to humanity was nuclear holocaust, nuclear war. And then we hear a lot about the existential threat to humanity now is, is climate change. But I really think that and feel that, the existential threat to humanity isn't an external threat. It's not going to come from these external forces. The existential threat to humanity is going to come from the inside out. Mm. It's those individuals or a collective of humanity that don't have that emotional intelligence, that don't have that way to manage their emotions, that don't have that ability to be able to harness the power of their mind. And that's what's going to ultimately cause a lot of chaos for humanity. And when we can manage that and tap into that and then learn to be able to manage ourselves, then we can collectively work together with each other. And then we can solve those issues that are coming from without having to argue with all these different perspectives and these different ideas and telling everybody that they're wrong and that we're right.
Mm. And that's such an insightful way to look at it. And it's kind of the theme of what we talk about a lot on this show is, when we talk about being the change, it starts with us. It all begins with us. And, there's something that I said, I think it was at the beginning of the pandemic, and it's kind of stuck. And that is, what I do today impacts your tomorrow. Like we're all in the same boat here. So, when we can understand that what is within us impacts each other, that's where true change starts.
And, I heard for quite a long time, about living in the moment, the present moment. And it always kind of seemed to be this, strange, well, what is that? Okay, great. You're here. You're having a good time or whatever the case may be. But I've come to really understand that, living in the moment is being connected with yourself, that heart brain coherence, and understanding how you're able to relate and interact with this moment, how you're paying attention and how you're aware, how you can make the most out of it and also not have it go sideways in some way. And one of the things that I do in a meditation for me is, I look at almost like I'm in this large glass or mirror-like sphere, and I'm seeing all of the moments of my life, are up there reflected back at me. And it's in my mind, I'm saying that every moment from every point, every perspective in my life has brought me to this moment, this perspective, and this moment, this perspective is going to influence an infinite number of more moments and experiences. So it's that rippling effect. What is happening here is going to impact, all these things that can continue to go on to happen. So when you're in that centered place, when you're making the most of this moment and being, you're focused on your being, how are you being? And then that is going to, like you said, it's going to impact, the tomorrow.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of practice to get to that space for some people as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I have is when I tell people that changing your mind is the easiest, hardest thing you will ever do. Mm. It's hard because people can't believe that it's so easy, and it does require some practice. It took me quite a bit of conditioning to get to the point where I can just sit down and I'm in that state.
Yeah.
But it's not, for me, it wasn't this, it wasn't like climbing on top of, a mountain or some, arduous task that you need to go. But it is being able to just kind of corral your mind and corral your emotions so you can just navigate. But it does take a little bit of practice. But the things that you do along the way, I don't feel aren't necessarily that difficult. It's stuff that's built inside of us.
Yeah.
But with practice, man, we can do so much.
Yeah, that's another thing that's kind of resonating with me at the moment. Everything we need, we're already equipped with.
Yeah.
We've got the power is within us, God, I'm quoting Anthony Robbins. Here we go. Now, you know, in hypnotism and meditation, what would you say has been your biggest challenge and how have you overcome it?
Would you say for me or would you say for, you know, working with other people?
Probably with working with other people.
I think a lot of it comes down to, and of course, this is something, you know, this is programming, but, you know, it's belief in oneself. It's showing people how they can, because I mean, you know, first of all, you're working with somebody to rewire their mind, but a big part of rewiring the mind is rewiring, you know, the beliefs that somebody has about themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is what I say to a lot of people. How many times have you read a book or if you've gone to like an Anthony Robbins seminar, you've seen something, experienced something, and you're like, yes, this makes so much sense. I'm going to do this and this is going to change my life. And then of course, a day later, 2 days, a week later, you're back to doing the same things that you did before and nothing has changed, particularly you. And that's because, you know, your conscious mind goes, this makes sense. Yes, this is great. The subconscious mind goes, of course it makes sense, but not for us because we can't do anything right. Nothing we do it works out. Everything goes wrong for us. So why even bother? And, you know, Joe Dispenza has a great quote about, you know, we're living today in the residual outcome of our past thoughts and experiences and emotions. And reading his book, You Are the Placebo, which is a great book. I highly recommend for everybody to read, but it talks about these people who literally thought something and believed something and healed their, you know, their body was healed.
Yeah.
And then of course there's copious examples of people who thought something, believed something, you know, negative. And of course that had adverse effects on their body, poor health and even death. So I think one of the things to really focus on, if somebody's doing this, you know, for the first time, or if you're working with somebody the first time, is just to tackle that belief system that somebody has. Work with that so that they can know that they can believe in themselves. They can believe that this is possible, that they can do this. So then they can have a belief in the greater things that are coming, that they can accomplish and that they can do.
Yeah.
And that really was, especially for me in the beginning, when, you know, I look around at, you know, the experiences that I had had in my life up to that point relative to, you know, relationships and finances and things that I had accomplished, I had all these beliefs that, you know, I could only do so much, or it's got to be this way, or it's got to be this way, or it's got to be this way. And then when I was able to let go of those, you know, restraints of those beliefs and begin to believe that there could be more, then all of a sudden more started to happen. And then when I could believe in, you know, when I could believe in this much, and then once this much happens, then you could start to believe in a little bit more, you know, and a little bit more and a little bit more. And that's one of the things that I saw how it profoundly impacted my life. And that's one of the things that I work with, you know, with other people. It's, you know, that saying, you go as far as you can go, or as far as you can see. And once you get there, you'll be able to see a little farther.
Yeah. And it reminds me also of The Secret, you know, it's a lot of that premise as well. And, Dr. Joe Vitale talks about a lot mm-hmm. of this as well. And, you know, just if we completely understood ourselves and our minds, imagine the world we'd have and the lives that we would live. Like, we, I don't know. And I think, you know, this whole industry of, you know, spirituality, wellness, all that kind of stuff, there's quite a few snake charmers, and I think that's sort of changed people's beliefs that they can't truly believe this stuff and make a change.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, that won't work for me, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if we had true education in this where people understood that their mind was so powerful and could do so much for them, like we wouldn't have half of the issues we have.
You're exactly right. And I know here in the US, there have been and studies where the results have done where there have been school districts that worked with their students to teach them mindfulness and even in meditation. And they have drastically seen a reduction in discipline issues, in suspension. They have seen kids' grades go up. So there's these all these tangible results that they're able to see from taking some time during their curriculum to teach this to kids. And then, on, you know, conversely on that, we have, I think it was the state of Alabama here. At some point back in the 90s, they outlawed like meditation and yoga, or that, you know, that you cannot teach this stuff in schools. We're not going to teach these kids. And it had come up, I think it was like last year, that somebody said, look, we want to rescind this. This is ridiculous. Mm. We don't think that if we, you know, if our kids learn mindfulness or yoga or meditation, they're not going to be possessed by demons and they're not going to go. But yet, the last I remember reading about it, everybody's like, oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep our kids away from that stuff. So you see the incredible results that some school districts have had by doing this. And then you see those that are go, oh, no, we're not going to do this. This is evil.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting contrast, because, and you are right, if we're able to show this to, you know, our kids, and of course, you know, even adults, because there's so many adults out there that don't grasp these things, that don't want to look at these things. And, you know, I was one of those people. And then when that door opens up a little bit and you're able to see and you're able to experience, then it just makes a world of difference. And that's just kind of what I hope to be able to put out there to everybody is, you know, try it.
I'd love for us to just get into people's minds a little bit earlier than we did, you know, not have to go through so much pain and anguish to actually reach that state of enlightenment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And of course, then it is, you know, for me, it's, you know, when I talked about all the moments reflecting back to me that created this moment, I look at everything I have experienced, you know, in my life, all of the journeys, the relationships, the different places I've lived, the different choices that I've made. But I'm like, that all aligned so perfectly to bring me to the place where I'm at, because it's this convergence of experience and skill, all, you know, and relationships that have all brought me to this point where I go, man, I'm in the sweet spot. I feel like I'm experiencing everything that earlier in my life I was hoping to experience. Of course, I'm experiencing it in an entirely different way now, but the emotional states, you know, that I said, you know, I want to feel happy and this and this and this, it's like those are all dialed in now. And that's one of the things too, especially when I, you know, one of the themes of a lot of my content on YouTube is letting people know, let go of the judgment, let go of thinking that it's got to be this way. This has got to play out like this. And this person's got to show up like this. And this is, and then I'll be where I, you know, I'm hoping to be, or I'll have the things that I want to have. So, and that's one of the things that, you know, that my wife teaches when she works with people is let go of neediness, because we hear from people like, you know, this person did this, but if this person acted this way, and if this person didn't do this, and then I'll feel happy, then I'll be good, then I'll be in a good mood. And it's like, no, it's, you focus on that first, and then you just allow for an infinite amount of ways and possibilities to show up, to deliver you, to sustain you in that emotional state.
Yeah. And it just comes back to that, you know, a lot of people don't understand, if you don't ask the universe for what you want, you won't get it. Or well, you'll get exactly what you ask for, basically. So if you're putting it out there that, you know, all the bad things happen to you and, you know, life is crap, then that's what you're going to get. But if you can dial into that feeling of where you want to be, and hold on to that, it's going to tune into you and you're actually going to get it.
Yeah.
So it's simple.
And see, that's what I talk about, you know, the hardest, easiest thing you'll ever do, because I was one of those people that, you know, when my wife and I first met, there were so many things that we were aligned on, and, you know, there were some things that she had a lot more wisdom and experience with that, you know, even I'd be like, oh no, it's, you know, you gotta this way, you gotta do this. And then once you do that, and then when I was able to let go of that and come from that emotional state, and that's what I tell people, look, if you have a goal, don't necessarily focus on the thing, focus on the emotional state, focus on the feelings that you want to feel relative to that. And then, cause there's all these infinite amount of ways, you know, that can show up to be able to sustain you in that emotional state. And if you think about it, to put it in like computing terms, the conscious mind processes, you know, it's, I think it's like 7 to 10 bits of information per second. And the subconscious mind processes, I think it's more like 20 million bits of information per second. So there's so much more going on in the subconscious mind. And when it comes to stuff like, you know, like the law of attraction and things like that, I share with people that it's, you know, if thoughts are things and you're putting out stuff into the universe, you're putting out way more subconscious energy out there that you're not even realizing is there, that you're not even realizing that you think or subsequently feel. And it's, if you can align that, if you can rewire that subconscious thinking, that's when, you know, when you're not even thinking about it, you're putting stuff out there that the universe can pick up on that signal and that energy. And I think it's really fascinating. I even realized this. I just found this out a few months ago, but the pineal gland has got calcite crystals in there with piezoelectric properties. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, yeah, literally your brain, the pineal gland has the ability to be essentially a, you know, like a radio signal, a broadcaster and a receiver.
Yeah. And this is it, you know, we only know what we know. And I just find it so fascinating. And that's why I love having these kind of conversations. And you know, I was just watching you then, John, and the minute you mentioned your wife, you just lit up. So you are in the sweet spot.
it's so funny because, you know, my wife had said, she's like, why didn't we meet, you know, 25 years ago? Even though I grew up in New Jersey, then I wound up moving to Utah. We kind of, there were some similar circles of people and things that we knew. And of, one of the funny things is, I had mentioned I had some, you know, independent movies produced and you know, those are the movies, you know, on the movie posters back there.
Yeah.
And I was raised Mormon. So those movies were comedy movies geared towards, you know, Mormon audiences.
Right.
So my wife was familiar with my comedy and my movies before she ever knew, you know, who I was. And and when we had met and we were texting, she's like, I don't even know what you do. And I'm like, it'd probably be easier if you just Googled my name and looked me up. And she's like, I'm not going to Google. But what? And I said, oh, I don't know if you're familiar with any of these movies. And she was like, oh my gosh, that was you. Those were the only movies that I would let my kids watch on Sunday. What? Because and you know, neither one of us were not practicing Mormons now. We don't have any issues with the church, but we're not practicing. But back in the day, like it was like my movies were the stuff that she told her, it's okay for you to watch those. You know, so she's like, but why didn't we meet 25 years ago? I said, because you had to go on your journey and I had to go on my journey, which aligned everything so perfectly for us to be able to be in this moment, to have the successful marriage and the relationship that, you know, that we have right now. Mm. And so, yes, my face does light up because, you know, I'm very fortunate and very blessed.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to what we were just saying, like, you know, it's having that contrast in your journey as well. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows, right? And without the dark times, you're not going to have the light. So I think understanding that it's not all bad. The bad has a purpose. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah. And I think, and my the way that I kind of look at that too is I look back because, you know, look, we can define things, you know, however we want to define things. And looking back on, you know, I've got my 13-year-old knows I'm on a webcam right now, and he's like crawling behind me to be able to get by.
So
if you saw like something scurrying back there, probably would have been less, you know, he could just walked by, but
you could have just said it was a dog. That's fine.
And you know, like if you look at like the movie Benjamin Button, where they do that montage because this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened, and then she wound up, you know, she got hit by her car or whatever. And I know that there's a lot of people that think, you know, when all these things happen, it helps us, you know, maybe it's a case where we avoid, you know, something terrible. But I think that everything you know, when we're aligned, right, when we're in sync, we're in harmony, everything happens and shows up, you know, not to help us avoid something bad. I think it all helps us to, you know, come into something good. Mm. When we look back at the past, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of things that I think were bad and horrible and terrible that I went through. But moving forward, I don't come from a space where bad things have to happen in order for me to appreciate, you know, something good. Because I think once you're in alignment there, and I'll give you an example of that. My wife had, you know, she woke up late. It was one morning. She had an appointment. She had a nail appointment at 10 o'clock. I didn't realize she had it at 10 o'clock. So I didn't wake her up. She wound up waking up at like 10:15. And then she's like, oh my, you know, can I still get there? And then she called the place and we're like, hurry up and get there. And she had lunch. She was supposed to have lunch with a friend. All these things. It was like the day started off. She was late and then she had to move lunch with a friend and all these things. But then when she went and had lunch with her friend, at the restaurant, there were parents. My wife had a friend. It was her babysitter of her kids going back 20 years who recently just passed away. And my wife hadn't seen the family for quite a long time. She was anticipating that she'd go up to Idaho for the, you know, for the service. But then all of a sudden, at that right moment, that ideal moment, here come this woman's parents.
No way.
That came into the restaurant, sat right next to my wife, and they just held each other and they had such a profound moment of being there for each other and healing for each other and being able to comfort each other and interact with each other that they probably wouldn't have had if my wife had just gone and had seen them, you know, at the memorial service. But instead, these things that, you know, you can wake up and you go, oh, this terrible, you know, this happened and this and the day's all ruined. But all of those little things created something even more, you know, an incredibly wonderful moment that my wife hadn't anticipated. So when we come from that mindset of, you know, that's one of the things that I say, you know, circumstances don't matter. Only your emotional state of being matters. And when we can come from that space, when things show up, and we go, it's going to be okay. I'm coming from, you know, the space, then it's like the universe can deliver, you know, so much more than we would have ever even imagined possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the truth of it all is that the universe has got our back. So, you know, it puts things in place to counteract, you know, you're exactly where you're meant to be when you're meant to be. So, and if you can stop fighting that, you're just going to see it all like flow in front of you. I know there's been times where I've just gone, it's almost like watching things in slow motion. You can just see it happening in front of you. And it's just like, yeah, it's all under control. And you know that it's just going to, it's going to work as it's meant to. And not getting bent out of shape about it when it doesn't go your way, because it's not your way. It's the universe's way, right? If we can understand that, wow, the stress we could let go of.
Oh yeah, I know. And you know, then it took me a really long time, you know, to come from that space. But again, that's a case of you can ingrain that. You can, that becomes part of your subconscious thinking where you can just go, hey, all right, it's all going to be good. It's all going to work out. And it really does.
Yeah. So John, if someone is contemplating trying hypnotism for the first time, say they want to, you know, tackle an addiction or some issue in their life, and they're a little bit skeptic, what would you recommend they do?
One of the nice things about being able to have content, you know, on YouTube, or, you know, there's so many platforms where there's hypnosis, there's guided meditations. And it's interesting because a lot of these, the words and the phrases are kind of interchangeable. You might hear hypnosis, you might hear guided hypnosis or guided meditation or guided hypnosis, all these different things. But you, if somebody's at home, you know, and all they have to do is, you know, put in the, you know, the ear pods and turn something on and they're with themselves, that people can feel a lot more relaxed and comfortable doing that, as opposed to saying, maybe, you know, going to somebody, you know, one-on-one, which is obviously is a great experience to have because so much can be, you know, catered and focused on relative to the individual. But if somebody's never done it, all you have to do is just lay back or sit back and relax. And and listen to something, and there's so much out there, you can go, okay, oh, this kind of works for me, or I like this, or you know, you can experiment, you can see what works. And the thing is of course, with hypnosis or meditation, you know, it's like going to the gym. You're working a muscle out. You're working something out that can become stronger and easier. You know, there was a time I never thought I could be hypnotized, and then it happened to me. And now when I get in my meditative position, you know, when I get in the lotus position, I sit down, it's like my body knows, oh, this is what this is for. Okay. Now we're going to slow the brain waves down. Now we're going to get right into where we need to be. So that's what I tell people. Just go on to, you know, you can go into YouTube, Spotify's got stuff. There's, you know, Apple Music has got stuff that you can experiment, you can listen. And, you know, you're not going, because this is people like, well, what happens if I'm listening to something and I'm all by myself and I get stuck? You're not going to get stuck. That's not going to happen. You know, you don't have that, you know, to worry about. That's is kind of one of the things that, you know, you hear a lot. Well, what if I get stuck? Or I don't. No, you're not going to get stuck. So you can do it from the comfort of your own home and be able to expand your awareness and understanding and experience that way.
Yeah, and I think if you can make space in your day for, you know, a regular routine of whether it be hypnotism or meditation, it becomes a little bit addictive once you hit that sweet spot. It's a little bit like having a bit of a nap that you didn't intend to have.
Yeah, really, because, you know, there's so many tremendous physical benefits that come, you know, and energy is one of them. You know, people take the time to, you know, they're drinking a Red Bull or some energy drink or something in the, you know, the middle of the afternoon or whatever, when you can actually spend 10 or 15 minutes, you know, doing meditation and have, far more profound benefits of in energy that way.
Yeah, it reminds me of a meme I saw this morning on Instagram. The word medication, swap out the C for a D, meditation.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah,
there is so much truth to that.
Mm.
There really is, and yeah, there's a lot you could talk to, you know, about that. You know how, you know, people want to fight back against stuff because, you know, what was the statistic? I think it was from like 10 or 12 years ago. There was a study done that people that went to like a psychiatrist or a psychiatrist, I think they had to go like, it was like 600 times for like a 30% success rate versus, you know, people that, you know, did hypnosis. It was like a 90% success rate after like six sessions.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is incredible.
Probably cheaper too.
Yeah.
Now, John, I love asking this question, and there's no wrong answer, so no pressure.
Okay.
Can you define what being ethical means to you?
Being ethical. That's a good question. You know, it means to me, at least as, you know, as I think about it now, just, you know, staying true to humanity, you know, you're part of humanity, so you're going to want to contribute something positive to humanity. And when I mean humanity, that means, of course, every individual, you know, that you deal with, that you work with. It's wanting to come from a space of, hey, we're all in this together, so let's create something that allows us to all be better off individually and which benefits everybody, you know, collectively. You know, one of the things that we hear from people is like, this person made me feel this way. This person made me, of course we know, you know, and it takes a lot for people to grasp the idea that you can choose into how you feel. But if you want to come from the space of what we do makes other people feel certain ways, well then every day offer everyone that you interact with the opportunity to choose into feeling good.
Mm. I love that. Yeah, you should bottle that. That's good. So, John, if people want to find out more about you and get in touch, how can they do that?
My website is johnmoyer.com. Of course, you can just go to, you know, YouTube, type in my name, John Moyer, or sleep hypnosis. You can find me that way, but, you know, because obviously I'm in a lot of, you know, those categories. But just look me up on YouTube, John Moyer, and it'll take you right to my my channel on YouTube.
I'm going to be plugging that one in tonight. Now, I've got the last big question for you, John. What's the change you want to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
Well, I don't use the word want. I like to, my whole thing is I use the word prefer, right? Because if we come from a state, if, you know, if we say I want this, or this is what I want, then, you know, my thinking is that the mind operates like, here's, well, we want something, which means we don't have something. So we're going to operate from a space of always coming from wanting. So we're going to make sure that we don't have it so we can keep wanting. So I always like to use the word prefer. So when I say the prefer that I would like to see, you know, or the change, you know, in the world is everyone having the opportunity to understand how powerful their minds are and how powerful their own energy is. You know, we're all this vibrating energy. And when we come from higher vibrational states, then higher vibrational circumstances happen. Mm. So if one person is able to raise their vibration, then that means other people are going to have the opportunity to raise their vibration. And then the whole planet sees its vibration raise. And then the aliens will realize that we're conscious enough and ready enough to be able to make contact with them and see what else is out there.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And that's, you've just completely wrapped up what this whole mission is about on this podcast. And I can't thank you enough for being a part of the Ethical thank Evolution.
You. I appreciate it so much. I really had a great time being here, and thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're an ethical business owner, change maker, or holistic healer who's determined to make a change in the world and you need support to spread your message, visit ethicalchangeagency.com to collaborate.